This is New Testament Character Podcast 51, Onesimus and Philemon. The little book of Philemon joins Jude, 2nd and 3rd John, and Obadiah as the only one-chapter books of the Bible. But don't be deceived, it's powerful. Philemon contains the names of 11 people. We're only going to focus on the main three, Philemon, Onesimus, and the Apostle Paul. Quick, a little bit of background. Philemon is a Christian leader. He had a servant who ran away after helping himself to money or property, and that servant is Onesimus. Onesimus ends up with Paul, who's in prison, probably in Rome or Ephesus. You can see God's hand at work here. Onesimus is converted to Christ, and now Paul is sending him back for the sake of reconciliation. And interestingly, if the Old Testament law still applied, which it did not. Deuteronomy 23:15 says, don't send a runaway slave back to his master. But Paul sending him back, not for enslavement or some economic reason, but for a different reason, which we'll learn about in a moment. Now, our study is not primarily about the apostle. For that, you can watch the iFaith video sermon on Philemon or listen to that Philemon unit in the prison epistles, which is a series at my website, or read the New Testament chapter study notes on Philemon. It's all there. Now, we're not focusing on Paul. We want to look at the interplay between Philemon and Onesimus, and we'll read verses 1 to 22, only admitting the final few verses. From Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our dear friend and co-laborer, to Apphia, our sister, to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your house. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is the beginning of the personal letter of Philemon. To some extent, it's a private letter, but what has happened is most likely public knowledge. And whatever the result of Paul's letter, everyone, certainly everyone mentioned in the introduction, is going to find out. They'll all know. The church meets in Philemon's home. In the early centuries of Christianity, that was where Christians normally met, in any house that was large enough and who had someone who would host them. Christians would come together. Apphia, it doesn't say that she's Philemon's wife, but many scholars would say quite likely she is his wife. And Philemon is introduced here as a dear friend and co-laborer. Well, Paul's not writing to a stranger. He's not even writing to an acquaintance or someone he met once at a conference. Philemon is a friend, actually a dear friend. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints. I pray that the faith you share with us may deepen your understanding of every blessing that belongs to you in Christ. I have had great joy and encouragement because of your love. For the hearts of the saints have been refreshed through you, brother. What do we learn about Philemon? Well, he's known outside his house church, outside his immediate home. He's clearly respected. He has good relationships. He has helped many people. And not just helped them, he's a loving person. Paul continues, so, although I have quite a lot of confidence in Christ and could command you to do what is proper, I would rather appeal to you on the basis of love. I, Paul, an old man, and even now a prisoner for the sake of Christ Jesus, I'm appealing to you concerning my child, whose spiritual father I have become during my imprisonment, that is, Onesimus, who was formerly useless to you, but is now useful to you and me. I have sent him, who is my very heart, back to you. Onesimus has become Paul's son. Not biological son, a spiritual son. And there's a little bit of humor in verse 11 because the word Onesimus means useful. And Paul says, well, Philemon, Onesimus was useless. I mean, he ran away and he robbed Philemon. But now he's useful to you and me. So what's changed is it's not just Philemon, Onesimus, now Paul is in the mix. And Paul is sending him back as there are unresolved issues and certainly unresolved feelings. We're already at verse 13. I want to keep him with me so that he could serve me in your place during my imprisonment for the sake of the gospel. However, without your consent, I did not want to do anything, so that your good deed would not be out of compulsion, but from your own willingness. But perhaps it was for this reason that he was separated from you for a little while, so that you would have him back eternally, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, as a dear brother. He is especially so to me, and even more so to you now, both humanly speaking and in the Lord. So Paul is hinting that Philemon should grant Onesimus his freedom so that Onesimus could continue to serve the Apostle Paul. And Paul expects that Philemon will accede to this request. Philemon's not under duress, and Paul doesn't want any favor to be forced, but Paul expects Philemon will say yes out of the goodness of his heart, in consistency with Philemon's good character. Verse 17, Paul continues, therefore, if you regard me as a partner, accept him as you would me. Now, if he has defrauded you of anything or owes you anything, charge what he owes to me. I, Paul, have written this letter with my own hand. I will repay it. I could also mention that you owe me your very self. Yes, brother. Let me have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Since I was confident that you would obey, I wrote to you because I knew that you would do even more than what I'm asking you to do. At the same time, also prepare a place for me to stay, for I hope that through your prayers, I will be given back to you. That's as far as we'll go in Philemon. Onesimus has stolen from Philemon. Paul says, if he's defrauded you or of anything or owes you anything, charge what he owes to me. It's not an if, that's what happened. And Paul hopes that Philemon will remit the debt. He says, I'll pay it. Of course, is Philemon going to send a bill to an old man who constantly risks his life, who's in prison, and the person who helped him become a Christian, who helped Philemon become? I don't think so. Paul hopes that Philemon will cancel the debt, and I'm reminded, this time through Philemon, which I must have read 80 times or 100 times, I love it, I'm thinking of Victor Hugo's Les Misérables. I'm thinking of Bishop Myriel. This was written by Victor Hugo in 1862. In Les Mis, as it's often called, this priest shows kindness to the recently freed Jean Valjean, who has just got out of prison and hard labor for many years. He treats him very kindly, and Jean Valjean robs him and sneaks away in the night. Or could we say he steals away in the night after stealing Muriel's silverware? Well, the authorities catch up with him and bring him back, fully expecting the bishop will denounce him, but the bishop not only pardons him, he gives them even more silverware. It's something like, hey, you forgot the candlesticks. Here, take these. It's one of many really touching scenes in this masterpiece, Les Misérables. Well, that kind of grace, I think that characterizes Paul. And Paul is fairly sure that Philemon will also extend grace, even though Onesimus has wronged him. Paul not only hopes for this outcome, he expects it. So what was the outcome? What happened? We're not told. Philemon is mentioned nowhere else in the New Testament. That's not, however, the case for Onesimus, because we find him near the end of Colossians, a letter that was written about the same time, Colossians 4, 7 to 9. Tychicus, a dear brother, faithful minister, and fellow slave of the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are doing and that he may encourage your hearts. I sent him with Onesimus, the faithful and dear brother, who is one of you. They will tell you about everything here. Now, if this is the same Onesimus, and I see no reason to doubt that, Paul is as fond of him as ever, And he praises Onesimus for his faith and his service to the apostle in his ministry. So is Onesimus free? Well, it may be too early. It's possible Onesimus accompanied Tychicus and delivered the letters of Colossians and Philemon, which some scholars think were written and delivered at the same time. Now, in that case, he may not yet have returned to Philemon, may not have been formally liberated, unless Philemon's house church is in Colossae, because then the letter to the Colossians and the letter to Philemon would have been in the same mail pouch, so to speak. Or perhaps Colossians was written soon after the liberation of Philemon. I like to believe that Onesimus was freed. I would be quite shocked to find out someday that he wasn't. Okay, let's wrap it up here. If Paul's prediction is correct, then Philemon did the right thing. He set Onesimus free. His debt to Philemon was canceled. The watching church were all edified. According to one tradition, Philemon and Onesimus were both martyred in the persecution under Nero in 64. That's possible. Ignatius, who himself was martyred in a little bit after the year 100, Ignatius was from Antioch. He also mentions an Onesimus in one of his seven letters. He calls Onesimus a man of inexpressible love and your overseer in the flesh. And if that's the case, then that would point to a martyrdom under a different emperor, probably Domitian around 95. But this is outside the Bible, and it remains somewhat speculative. Finally, I like to think that a true friendship between equals developed, since in Christ, Philemon and Onesimus were equals. Onesimus was truly one of them, one of us. And in Christ, there's neither slave nor free. There are lessons here for our heart. And this letter is in the New Testament canon for our instruction and our edification. Every time we read it, let's look and see what's happening and listen for God's voice. Thank you.